Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll just look at verse 17. That's at the end of our text today, but let's look at that. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, that these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Last night, I was laying in bed going over something to open up my tablet, and I'm just reading over the text, and I decided to read over it in several different translations. And I recommend that if you want to study a text. Look at it from every angle. But there is just a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh has desires that are opposite of the spiritual desires. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and leads you and guides you, the flesh wants to go this way. The spirit wants to go that way. And, it's kind of like they make little cartoons, you know, if you've ever seen some of those cartoons where there's a devil sitting on this shoulder and there's an angel sitting on this shoulder and the devil says, yeah, why don't you do something bad? And the angel says, no, do something good. You know, you've seen those kind of, well, I tell you what, it's a lot worse than that. It's really different because it's you. It's your own flesh fighting against just wrestling with what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, and you, your sinful nature, flesh, is pulling a whole nother direction. But by the way, I want you to know that only a true born-again child of God has this real battle. You know, the flesh against the spirit. Because there are those who are not born again, they've got different kinds of battles, all right? They don't have the Holy Spirit prompting them and convicting them and leading them. You know, people who are not born again may have a set of morals, and they feel conflicted whether they should break their moral codes. They have convictions. I'm not saying that those who don't know Christ are just animals, brutes, you know. But there's a whole different battle going on. You know, they even may experience guilt because they broke the law or they're afraid they're going to get caught. Everyone has a conscience, okay? But not everyone has the Holy Spirit. And this is what sets us apart from the unbelievers. We have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we have a conscience too, but consciences could be defiled. Consciences could become callous. Maybe you've watched shows about serial killers or different people who the conscience becomes so cold and callous that they don't even feel guilt anymore. There are certain people who are like, they have that disability where they don't have a conscience, okay? When you have the Holy Spirit, it's a whole nother ballgame. I want to give you a couple examples of how we're set apart from the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul wrote, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God." By the way, he's a person, the Holy Spirit, not just the force, Luke, okay? We have the person of the Holy Spirit, that we may know the things that have been freely given us by God. You don't just have a Bible. I know we need the Word of God. We're going to talk about that in a moment, okay? Because the Holy Spirit always works in conjunction with the Word of God. But don't just think, I just need a rule book. This is my rule book right here. That's all I need. No, this doesn't help. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this becomes a burden. The Holy Spirit in combination with the Word of God makes all the difference in the world. So Paul says, we don't have just the spirit of this world, but we have the Spirit of God that helps us to see and understand the things that God has freely given us. One more is Romans 8:9, that says, you know, Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you." There's the key. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? I want you to think about that today and I know I didn't finish the verse, but it's a real important thing. God forbid that we would ever have church, and me as the pastor, I teach you the word, and week after week, you're able to sit through Bible lessons without really ever being born again. God forbid that would ever happen. But he says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. There's a dividing line. There's those who are born again, who have the Spirit of God in them, and there are those who don't. There could be all different moral standards and all different religious beliefs, but you're either born again or you're not. That's a big thing that some people miss altogether. And that's where the Apostle Paul is taking us next, as he's been dealing with this matter of law keeping. You know, the legalistic Jews came into town and says, you got to keep the law of Moses. Well, you know, Paul is saying it's not just a matter of keeping a set of rules or laws, even if they're God's laws. It's not just all about being good and drawing within the lines, you know. If we're to be right with God, we've got to be born again. We need a brand new nature. We don't just need a new set of rules. We don't just need the right book or the right denomination. We need to be born again. We need to have, like I told you last week, have our brains rewired by the Spirit of God. And so that's where we're going to go today. Father, I pray that you help us to get it. I pray, Father God, that if there is anyone here who does not know you, just religious, and isn't born again, Lord, just touch them by the grace and your Holy Spirit and let them know and draw them into your family today. Do what I could never do and cause them to be born again. Father, I pray that if there's those who are born again but just not walking in the Spirit, help us, Lord, to move forward. Lord, let us as a church family and as individuals move forward and not backwards, upward and not downwards. We want to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So speak to us now by your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, remember, the Galatian believers were being lied to by these religious legalists who came into town. These guys were already saved, the Galatian believers. But they go, oh, no, you just accepted Jesus? You put your faith in him? Oh, no, you need much more than that. And they pull out their rule book. You need to keep the law of Moses. You can't just trust Jesus to save you. And you'll see that again and again. That's why we're spending time in this. It's happening today. Maybe it's not the Jewish legalist saying to be a follower of the law of Moses. We don't see that as much. But there are those who say, if you don't worship God on Saturday, you worship God on Sunday, you're worshiping the Antichrist. There are people who say that. There are people who say, if you don't keep all the rules of our church. God bless you. You say you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, that's good. But you need to come all the way and be a member of our church, follow our prophet, get our extra books. You know, that's, by the way, that's another way you could tell when there's a cult. They can't just use the Bible. They got either all of their extra holy books, and they're all the Word of God, or our guide to the Bible. And if they have an official guide to the Bible, you can't get it unless you read. Matter of fact, some of these cults, they have their own translation of the Bible, and you got to use their translation. Look, folks, even I'm telling you something. I believe even if you take some of the cheesiest translations out there, God's Holy Spirit's powerful enough that he could put his finger on things and speak to you through it, okay? Because there's a lot of wild translations, and I'm not one to pick on you, so you've got to use my translation. Beware of all these little trips people put on you, okay? Now, verse 13, we're going to back up. We passed verse 13, but let me just back up for a second. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity of the flesh, for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Remember, this is one of the battles that every legalist has. They say, well, you can't just believe in Jesus. If you just tell people they just believe in Jesus and they can live however they want, then they're going to live however they want, and they're going to live in sin. I heard one theologian once said, love God and then do whatever you want. Now, at first that kind of bothered me, but I thought what he was trying to say is, if you actually love God, then you're going to want to do things that are loving towards him. See what I mean? I know at first that took your breath away. But I think what the theologian was saying, I forget where that came from, but when I heard that at first, it kind of swept my feet. What? But what he was saying is, if you really love God, you're going to want to do things that are pleasing to God. It's kind of like if I says, love your wife and then live how you want. Well, if you love your wife, you're going to be faithful to her. You're not going to cheat on her. You're going to take her out to that special place whenever you can. You're going to treat her right, right? So that's the point. I think that's really pretty close to the truth, okay? Now, this whole thing about legalism and if you let them just believe in Jesus, they're going to live wild. That's why Paul wrote verse 13 here. He says, look, you have been called to liberty. But he gives us a caution. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity to sin, okay? That's really the Christian life. I'm free. I'm not bound by laws. I don't have to keep, well, what's the Calvary Chapel rule book? Just read your Bible and love God, okay? And don't use the liberty that is given you as an excuse or an opportunity to live in sin, okay? I think that's important. See, we're all prone to extremes. And one Christian may interpret liberty as a license and think that he could do whatever he wants. Oh, I'm free in Christ. I can do whatever I want. And then they go too far that way. Another Christian sees this error and he goes to the opposite extreme and he imposes law on everybody. Oh, we don't want to be like them. So here's all the rules. Both are extremes, okay? Somewhere between license and legalism is the Christian liberty. But it's really a key. The key is walking in the Spirit. Where do you find the balance? Well, you find this extreme, you find that extreme, and then you get right in. You don't try. You know, I heard one pastor one time say, we like to get right in the middle. We see what the extreme theology is on this side, the extreme theology on that side, and then we get right in the middle. No. That's not how you find truth either. What you do is you walk in the Spirit and you read the Word of God. And you say, God, speak to me, correct me, show me, lead me, guide me. I'm yours, okay? And then you'll be okay. And it's really a matter of living according to the Holy Spirit rather than living according to the flesh. And the first thing God's Holy Spirit will teach you is to love one another. And that's why I think we ended on this verse last week, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's the royal commandment, love one another. Let me show you an example from another apostle, the Apostle John. He wrote this in 1 John chapter 4. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, remember the song? He who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Three of you know it. Okay. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the aspects of how you could tell if you have the Holy Spirit. Number one, love of God. If you've been forgiven of all your sins, and now you're walking in the Lord, how could you not forgive others? If God has the only reason I could love anybody else is because God loves me and he filled me with his love, okay? And once we're born again, we're ruled by the Spirit of God and by the love of God. That's the great thing. The Spirit of God, the love of God, which eliminates our need for the law. The law. That's the big deal. People like to have their rules.
Oh, no. That's against the rules and ordinances of our church. You see, here's our laws here.
Whether it's dress codes or what you can eat or whatever. Listen, if you're ruled by the Spirit of God and under the control of the love of God, we're going to do okay, all right? Now, verse 14, again, says, For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at this contrast, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. What an extreme difference. Now he's saying, now I bet you what these legalists did would cause a little bickering. It always happens. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a church split. Thank God I've never really been in a part of a church split. But I've heard real nasty things happen and people bite and devour one another. And if you bite and devour one another, pretty soon there's nothing left. You're all gone. People who've gone through stuff like this and were the biting and the nitpicking and the devouring, it takes everything out of you to where you don't want to go to church anymore. You don't feel like praying anymore. You feel alienated from God. And apparently the Galatian believers were lacking the love that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Well, one commentator, Morris, said this, the loveless life is a life lived on the level of animals, with a concern only for yourself, no matter what the cost to other people. You know, God teaches us to care for others, to put others' needs before ourselves, to love one another. That's what love is, okay? Now, in my study, I've told you before, every now and then I like to look at Warren Wiersbe's commentary. And the only danger for looking at Warren Wiersbe's commentary is you want to use all of his outlines, okay? And before you know it, you're preaching Warren Wiersbe's text, okay? So I have to decide, okay, don't use everything, but I want to give you his outline of this section of Scripture, and it's going to be your first fill-in, okay? I think there's three fill-ins, and I got this off from Warren Wiersbe's outline of this section of text. Three things that only the Holy Spirit can do for us. I think this is worth mentioning. Number one, the Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love. And those are the verses we're reading right now, verse 13 through 15. It's the law of love. Wiersbe sees an outline and everything, by the way. If you ever like organized outline preaching, pick up one of Warren Wiersbe's books, because he could read a letter. You could look at an outline of a chapter and go, okay, what's in there? He finds an outline in it, and he didn't force it. It works, okay? Here's the next one. Number two, the Spirit enables us to overcome the flesh. And that's what we're going to talk about a lot more next week. What are the things we need to overcome in the flesh? The Spirit enables us to overcome the flesh. Number three, the third part of his outline of this chapter is the Spirit enables us to produce fruit. Now, unfortunately, there's so much I want to cover here that I'm going to just give you the introduction today of walking in the Spirit. Next week, we're going to look at overcoming the flesh and what are the things in the flesh that are our enemies. The week after that, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit and what that looks like. It's kind of like we don't have live by or bound by a rule of 10 commandments, but we have a whole bunch of things we could look at and go, oh, I'm doing that, that's not good, or I'm doing this, that shows fruit, okay? So there are indicators that the Lord gives us in the New Testament. And don't misunderstand, it's not simply a matter of being spiritual. You're going to talk about this in your growth groups. Being spiritual isn't always good. I mean, there's an evil kind of spiritual. There's a devilish kind of spiritual. You know, was it a month or two ago, we went to the Goddess Fest. And we set up a booth. And there's all these gods and goddesses and chants and weird stuff. And they said, well, we're so glad you're the only Christian booth we've ever had at this Goddess Fest. And we said, well, we're here to stay, you know. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but this is not the Goddess Fest. It's the Godless Fest, and we're here to bring God to it, okay? So, but when I didn't tell them that. But there is an evil, devilish kind of spiritual that is off the base. You know, the devil preaches spiritual messages too, and he's founded many spiritual religions that are evil, okay? But the Christian life is a combination of you being born again, and you have a new nature, and you take the Word of God, and you're led by the Spirit of God, and you walk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you over and over again, it's not just the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God. He uses the Word of God. That's why here at Calvary Chapel, we teach through the Bible. Because if I just says, be spiritual, yes, I'm being spiritual, it can go anywhere. I've talked to old friends I haven't seen in years. And they'll tell me, hey, Mike, how you doing, man? I've become real spiritual since last time I've seen you. And what they mean is not Christian, spiritual. And it's weird, okay? So there's a weird kind of spiritual. Again, here, now I'm going to quote from Warren again. Warren, in his B series commentary, says this, the Holy Spirit does not work in a vacuum. He uses the Word of God, prayer, worship, and the fellowship of believers to build us up in Christ. The believer who spends time daily in the Word and prayer and who yields to the Spirit's working is going to enjoy liberty and will help build up the church. Folks, you're going to hear it over and over again, and if you don't like the message, you won't like being here. It's all about Jesus, but it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God and finding that balance of both in our lives and living the true Christian life. Now, verse 16 goes on, and this is brand new text. But I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what walking in the Spirit means, because it's kind of strange because there's so many misconceptions. I remember one of my pastors early in my Christian life used to talk about walking in the light. And he used an illustration. He says, how do you get rid of the darkness? You know, you get a broom and swat at it. You yell, go away, darkness. I forbid you, darkness. You turn on the light. All right? How do you get rid of the darkness? You turn on the light. How do you get rid of spiritual darkness? You walk in the Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of you. Now, I'm going to define this with your next fill-in, okay? And by the way, your small groups, you go deeper with this, and you're going to look at many of these verses, but I'm giving you a basic outline here. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? First, it means that the Holy Spirit is in you. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you have the Spirit. You got to be born again, okay? Ephesians 1:13, I love the way Paul put it there. He says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, when we trust in Jesus, when we believe that he died for our sins and rose again, and we realize I'm a sinner, he's the Savior, Jesus saved me, God hears that prayer and he seals you with his Holy Spirit. And that's the starting point. You can't go anywhere unless you've got step one done first, okay? That the Holy Spirit lives in you. In case you missed it, that's the fill-in, in you, okay? Second, it means that to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit wants to influence you. Believe me, there's times you go through things in life, whether the friends you hang out with, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, where you're going to hang out, and the Holy Spirit is always like nudging you. Should we be here? Or, see that person over there? I think you need to talk to them.
Me?
I think they're hurting. You see, they need some prayer. I'm telling you something. If you start learning to hear the voice of God and to let the Holy Spirit influence you, before you know it, you'll be praying in the supermarket. You'll be stopping people in the parking lot and saying, hey, how you doing today? You okay? Let the Holy Spirit influence you, because I've told you many times, I'm not the only one in ministry here. We are in ministry. You all are in ministry. Or as they say in the South, all you all, okay? We're all in ministry together, and God wants to use you in a mighty way. And you come to church as training. It's kind of like ministry training. So that when you leave, I go, okay. It's kind of like coach blows the whistle, says, go out there. This is halftime talk. You get out there and you play the game, okay? Now, the scripture for that is Romans 8:13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, there's a very specific reason why I chose that particular verse, you know, rather than the verses about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and everything. Because I think the first thing the Holy Spirit leads you to do is to put to death the deeds of the flesh. There's people who love to talk about, oh, I like to be led by the Spirit. I've been to churches where everyone's speaking in tongues and prophesying, and when they get out there, oh, weird stuff's happening. They're not walking with the Lord. They're living in the flesh. They come to church, they have a Holy Ghost party. No. I'm not talking about just spiritual gifts, though if you were with us in 1 Corinthians, we went through the gifts carefully and methodically. And I believe in the spiritual gifts. But I'm telling you right now, whenever the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit, the first way the Holy Spirit leads a true believer is leads you out of sin into walking in the light. Out of the darkness into the light. Okay, so that's why I chose that verse. The third fill-in, I'm taking this real slow here. The third picture of what it means to walk in the Spirit is that it means to pattern, that's the word, to pattern your life after the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, and you go, well, that was cool. Last week, last month, last year, the Lord led me. That was really cool. Mark your calendar, because it ain't going to happen again, right? Uh-uh. What you need to do is learn to walk in the Spirit, and you pattern your life after that, and that's just who you are, is that you learn to be sensitive to the Lord, and there's a pattern in your life that the Holy Spirit influences you, and you let him. And you let him lead and guide. Let me give you a verse on that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, which, by the way, that's where we're headed by the time we finish this three-part series. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'll point out again that the first thing he will lead you to do is to crucify the flesh, to stop the patterns and influences of sin, and to start a new pattern. You know, by the way, I think one of the best way to have a good habit, or get rid of a bad habit, I should say, is start a new habit, you know? I just have a habit I'm trying to break. I just sit around and watch TV and eat chocolate all day. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Make a habit of getting up and walking around the block or going on a bike ride and eating real food, okay? And that will replace your bad habit. I've learned years ago the best way to get rid of a bad habit is to start a good habit, and it replaces it. And so here, the first thing the enemy wants to get you to do is live in sin, and the Lord wants you to get out of sin and start walking in the light. Okay, now notice, it has more to do, being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, it has more to do with holiness than just receiving otherworldly messages and feelings. Some people make the Spirit all about goosebumps. Oh, you got to come to my church. The Holy Spirit is there. What it is they have the air conditioning up high. Okay? It's not just about, you know, well, yeah, I almost felt like I was hypnotized. Well, because it's all that smoke and mirrors and light, and you breathe too much of that fog machine stuff, and before you stop it. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is he gets you heavenly minded and replaces the bad habits with good habits. And it's about holiness first, okay? Now, the rest of this chapter will give you ways to test whether you're walking in the Spirit or whether you're living in the flesh. Verse 19 through 21, this is what the flesh looks like. Your homework, go and read it. Verse 22 through 25, what it looks like when the Holy Spirit's in control. And we're going to take that in two separate chunks starting next week, okay? Now, one commentator, Boyce, said this. Life by the Spirit is neither legalism nor license, nor a middle way between them. It is a life of faith and love that is above all these other false ways. And if I could do one thing for you as your pastor, is I want to teach you what it means to walk in the Spirit and in obedience to the Word of God, hearing his voice, living under the influences of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of influences you could be under, right? People get pulled over and go, are you under the influence? That's not the kind of under the influence we want. We want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, look at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we're going to spend some time on this one. Because I decided we're going to do a three-part fill-in on this verse. Okay, so here's your next fill-in. I want you to see some important facts about verse 16 and don't miss it. Number one, it doesn't say that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't have fleshy lusts or desires. It doesn't say, walk in the Spirit, and you won't even know you have a body anymore. You won't feel any bad desires. No. It doesn't say if you walk in the Spirit, you won't have temptation. It says you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The way to overcome your lust of your flesh, whatever we all have different weaknesses, different temptations, but if you walk in the Spirit, it doesn't say you won't have those troubles. You won't fulfill them. The Spirit will win in your life. Number two, walk in the Spirit is a command that you could choose to obey or ignore. So I want you to know you got a choice. If you're not walking in the Spirit, it's not just because, oh, well, I guess the Holy Spirit didn't just get a hold of me. I mean, I remember when I was in a Christian band years ago, and one of the musicians in the band, he had a real bad sinful habit. I says, what? You're doing what?
He goes, well, when God doesn't want me to do it anymore, he'll take that feeling away.
Right. No, God doesn't all of a sudden, I don't know if maybe it happened to you, he clonks you in the head and makes you like a Christian zombie. You still have feelings and desires and temptations. You walk in the Spirit, you overcome those desires, but you've got a choice. You can walk in the Spirit out of obedience to the command of verse 16, or you can ignore it as a believer. Believers can walk in the flesh. True born-again children of God can walk in disobedience. Don't just go, well, if you're really saved, you're just going to live like it. Well, if you read the Bible, it seems like we're given commands that we could choose to obey or ignore. I'm just telling you, okay? Number three, the only way to win your battle against sin is to walk in the Spirit. That's what Paul's saying to the Galatian believers, that you're not going to overcome sin by going back to the law and following the law of Moses, or join this church, join that church, follow this prophet, read these books. You know, it's not books, prophets, denominations. It's the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit or we'll never overcome our problem with sin. It's all about the Holy Spirit of God. I know I always tell you it's all about Jesus, but today it's all about the Holy Spirit. No, it's about both. Okay. One more thing. You can't ignore this battle as a believer. It's there. You can't just hope it goes away. You can't vacillate in both worlds because it's going to eat you alive. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I mean, it's a tough one. In your growth group, you're going to read Romans 7, where Paul was talking about what it looks like. Things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. It's like, anybody? I won't ask for hands. Never mind. It's tough. But this is a very serious war that's going on, to the point that even Martin Luther, I found a great quote by Martin Luther. Listen to what he said. When the flesh begins to act up, the only remedy is to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of salvation. I'm going to tell you something. We talk about the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit uses the word of God. Luther knew that. He says, the word of salvation and fight against the flesh. If you set the word out of sight, you are helpless against the flesh. I know this to be a fact. I've been assailed by many violent passions, but as soon as I took hold of some scripture, my temptation left me. Without the word, I could not have helped myself against the flesh. Okay? So you can't talk about flesh versus spirit unless you talk about the word of God as a part of that. Of knowing what the Word of God says, obeying the Word of God, walking in obedience to God's Word, okay? So, listen, we're going to have communion in a moment, but before we do, I just want to ask you, how are you doing in this spiritual battle? How are you faring in this war, okay? Because, you know, Paul finally goes back to the subject that he started, that started this whole sermon, law versus grace, the law controversy. We're going to end one more verse, verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Really, he keeps saying, it's all about Jesus, but what Paul is trying to say right now, it's all about the Holy Spirit in your life, leading you and prompting you, convicting you when there's something you're tempted to do, and you learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, you learn to say no to the sinful flesh, you learn to turn on the light and the darkness goes away. It's all what the Lord's saying. Now, one more quote from Wiest, a famous Greek scholar who loves to bring out the Greek meaning of Scripture. Listen to what he says. The inner influence is far more effective than the outer influence. The mistake that is made so often in the Mosaic Law is that the Mosaic Law is substituted for the restraint of the Holy Spirit with disastrous results. Folks, nobody can give you any rule book that's going to fix you. They give you a rule book and you'll just find out how good you are at breaking rules. What you and I need is the Holy Spirit, that we could rise above the sinful nature, say no to all of the sinful desires and temptations, and find victory over the flesh by the power of, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, do you have that inner influence? I mean, are you born again? Okay? Now, I know that, of course, everyone here is born again. I don't know. And besides, you know, this is being recorded. Maybe somebody out there listening later on the internet or in radio, and I'm speaking right to you personally, and God's saying, today's the day. You need to be born again. That's the first step. You can't go any further spiritually unless you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. Father, I bow before you right now. And I just pray anybody listening to the sound of my voice, whether here in this room or later on recording, who doesn't know you, who's not sure they're going to heaven, who doesn't know if their sins are forgiven, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you bring them over from darkness into light, from the control under the influence of the flesh to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it's not enough for me to just pray for you. You've got to pray for you. If I'm describing you right now, just cry out to God right now. Just say, Father in heaven, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I know that you're the Savior, and I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. I trust in you and not myself. I trust in you as my Savior and you alone. Forgive me, cleanse me, and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And we're going to have communion in a moment. Listen, I'm telling you, if you don't know what it's like to walk in the Spirit, or maybe the Lord's put his finger on some things in your life, just from this small little talk here, and you're going, oh, there's things I need to repent of. There's things I need to overcome because I want the Holy Spirit to rule my life, not that sin or that habit. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to have a worship song right now. And the way we have communion at this church, if you're visiting, is we have two tables in the front, one in the back. We've got these little containers that contain both the wafer and the first layer and the grape juice on the second layer. And you just grab them, take them to your seat, and prepare and wait for further instruction. But if you're in a battle right now, if you're in the middle of a war and you're going, oh man, this hits, put your finger right on what I'm dealing with, then I want you to take the elements back to your seat and just ignore everybody else. Maybe you need to go behind the curtain over here, get where nobody will bother you, and just say, Lord, confess your sins to him. Put your finger on it particularly. If there's a pattern, if there's a sin, if there's something going on in your life that you need to stop, and the Lord say, I'm calling you up to higher ground. I'm calling you to forsake that and walk in the Spirit. Don't just have communion. Get right with God. And then let's start fresh with, as we remember the cross of Christ and what he did for us as we have communion.